All right. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? How's everyone doing? Welcome to Bird Park Community Church. Woo! It's good to see you today. I just took off my mask to talk on this. I don't know if you guys seen this video. There's this, like, some kind of state representative person, and he's walking up on the stage, but he forgot. He has to put his mask on so that when he gets on camera, he can take his mask off and begin his update on whatever health thing is going on. It was just funny. I was like, he just put his mask on to take it off again? I don't know. Hey, do you guys feel the island kind of opening again? Is anyone returning to work this week? Anybody? We're kind of waking up again, right? I don't know about you guys. I kind of got used to not working for a little bit. So, man, it's kind of an awakening to get back into it and start getting into that routine again. But we're grateful for work, right? Work is a blessing, and we got to pay the bills. So, and it allows us to live on this beautiful island. So, real quick, I don't know if we have too many announcements, but I just want to say the men's group, Wild Men, we are always getting together 6:30 on Monday nights. We'd love to see you tune in. Join myself, Andrew, John, a lot of the guys here. We'd love to see you online joining our little chat. It's a great opportunity to just connect and be with some other guys. And so we'd love to see you there. This week, I was performing an interview with someone. You guys have all interviewed for jobs, right? There's some nerves, right? Well, when I'm on my side of the table, I don't really get nervous because I'm asking all the questions and I'm like kind of controlling it, right? This person at the end of the interview flipped the script and started interviewing me. Like, I have never been interviewed before. It was like crazy. I felt like I was on the hot seat, and it was like really wild. And it kind of made me like really a little uncomfortable, but I was just like, man, I got to get used to this feeling. A lot of the questions she was asking are, you know, about the island and wanted to make sure it's the right fit. And one of my weaknesses, I kind of take some things personally. And some of the questions I really felt like were calling into question, like my character as a manager and all this stuff. I felt like I had to answer for some stuff that she had found online. And I was just like, man, this is really weird. I don't really like this. And a lot of my mind was thinking about this word character. We learned about the Enneagram yesterday. Mary Lou brought us through this. Has anyone heard of that before? I think I'm an 8, maybe. It's like the achiever, the get it done, like the angry one apparently sometimes. And so, but a lot of it was talking about character. And as the band comes up, I want to invite you guys into that word, that process that the Bible says sometimes sanctification. That's kind of a big word. The Message puts it like this: by that single offering, he did everything that needed to be done for everyone who takes part in the purifying process. This process of developing your character. So I invite you guys into that purifying process today, that you guys would invite God in, allow him to show you those parts of your character that maybe need working on and those parts that could really be brought up and just purified. We're going to sing about that today. So let's worship.
Awesome. Thanks, Reed. And again, if you would like the lyrics to go along with these songs, those are available on your tables there, those codes that you can scan. If you're watching with us online, you can get those lyrics on our website, avaloncommunitychurch.org, and you can print those or look that up on a screen to be able to sing along. But let's worship. Let's turn our hearts to him. Let's gather in his name in his place. What a beautiful day, huh?
Mm-hmm. Isn't it awesome?
Called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old has passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power living. Given us freedom.
given us freedom. You have given us freedom. Hallelujah.
Proclaim it, freedom.
Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us power. You have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness. You have given us freedom. Now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, Jesus. You have given
you guys a new song this morning. It's called Fresh Wind. And so we are just going to pray through the lyrics of this song that the Holy Spirit will just come, okay, and pour his Spirit down on us. So let that be your prayer as we sing, and join us when you feel comfortable. We want to hear everyone out there just crying out to the Holy Spirit, come. Fire of God, fall within. Holy Ghost, breathe on us, we pray. As we repent and turn from sin, revival embers smoldering. Breath of God, fan us into flame. We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Pour your Spirit out. Pour your Spirit out.
For hearts that burn with holy fear, pure going to keep that going. We want him to pour his spirit out. Are you glad you're here today? Some of you, it's just a matter of, I made it. It's been one of those weeks. For others, it's like, heck yeah, man. Been waiting for it, right? From both ends of the spectrum, whoever you are, whatever you're feeling, I just let you know you made it here. And it is a gorgeous Sunday to do church. We're focused off of ourselves this morning. And we welcome our online audience. We welcome those of you visiting the island this weekend. We have more visitors coming back. And for those of you who are Avalonians, welcome back. It feels good to be outside. It feels good to see each other, doesn't it? I listened to a song this week from a band called Sidewalk Prophets, and it says this. The band wrote, "We all start on the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing, nothing left to give. The shape that we were in, the shape that we were in. Just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down. Be set free. Come to the table. Come meet this mighty crew of misfits, these liars, these thieves. There's no one unwelcome here, so that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door. Let mercy draw you near. Come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place. Your place is beside the Savior. Sit down and be free. Come to the table. To the thief, to the doubter, the hero, the coward, the prisoner, the soldier, the young, and the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and the first, all the paupers and princesses, and all who have failed, you've been forgiven. All you who dream, who suffer, who are loved and lost someone, all the chained, all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let down, all the lost, you have been found. All of you who have labored right and wrong, you've been labeled right and wrong. To everyone who hears this song, come to the table, sit down, be set free." This morning we focus on communion, coming to the table. And please make sure you've received that cup of Christ and the elements this morning. If not, Big Brian's sitting right here in front of me. Put your hand up and we'll make sure that you have one of these as we're focusing on communion at this time. And they're right over here on the table if you've not received it. Christians, I want to ask you what you believe. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We believe in Christ, his only Son, our Lord, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. Descended into hell, the third day he rose from the dead, seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. He will come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and everlasting. Amen? I ask you, Christians, what you believe. This was the song that was sung by our band. And I remember it, and I played it back on YouTube. I love that song. When Jesus appeared to his disciples, he frequently let them know, peace, whoa, 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 peace be with you. And communion is a great time to express to one another the same blessing and peace of Jesus. So I want to say to you, peace to all of you and all of you listening online, peace to all of you. Look at your neighbor sitting next to you. And you may have to keep the mask up, but look at your neighbor and just say, peace to you today. Say that. Yeah. We enter into this ordinance, and it should not be entered into lightly. It's for the followers of Jesus and those who are in right relationship with one another. So take your cup, and if you peel back the top, there's a small wafer there. Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, remember me. For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's pray this morning. Father, we come to this table as your guests. Whatever condition, whatever status, whatever age, whatever it looks like, whatever language we speak, whoever's listening online from whatever state, country, wherever you're at, we're guests at the table of Jesus this morning. We rest in the worthiness of you, Jesus. We rest in your worthiness. And as we look on your death, may we remember why you died, to cleanse and to heal, to satisfy your righteousness, Jesus, and justice. We remember your love, your boundless grace. Today, may we receive the assurance of forgiveness, everlasting life, the hope of glory, the things that we forget about. We remember you. We come to remember you to this table. And as this bread and cup nourish our body, so may your indwelling Holy Spirit strengthen our soul until the day that you appear, when we will be hungry and thirsty no more. Amen?
Amen.
We sit with you at your heavenly table, and that day is coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In the pressing, you were making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you were breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand.
Make me a vessel. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. I carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to let it all go, and I see it now. I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. No, no. You saw my condition. You had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption. And I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. No, oh, oh, again and again and again and again. No, oh, oh.
My heart has been in your sight. Long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out just as I. We thank you for your sacrifice. We take up everything that you offered us. The life, we take it all in. Forgiveness, the fresh starts, the changed heart, Lord, the renewed mind. Thank you for the fresh work of the Spirit this morning that has poured out over us. May this always be a prayer of us that we run again and again and again to you. It never stops our need for you. We thank you for this time. We now go into your word, open our hearts, renew our minds. Today we lift it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
And all God's people said. And all God's people also said, thank you to the worship band, right? Amen. That's a great way of saying thanks, the appropriate way. Do you feel the love this morning? Do you feel the love in the worship? Do you feel the love amongst the people of God here? Do you feel the sunshine? Why is it? You don't, yeah, because you're in the shade. Why is the sun shining? Because of love, love of God. But also, hey, when it rains, why is it raining? Because of God's love. God's love never ceases. God's love continues to provide. God's love continues to build, continues to empower, continues to restore. And so we all need to understand the power of that love and to allow that love to work its power in us. We do that, and it's amazing what the Church of God here in Avalon, in the United States, in the world, will actually become. You know, I love this island. I mean, it's just an incredible physical place, but what I love most about it, of course, the people. I actually love the state of California. Southern California, it's a hard place to live, I gotta admit, and it's a hard place to love, but it's beautiful. But the reason I love California is that it's a state of superlatives. You know what superlatives are? Those are the things that end in E-S-T, the est, the greatest, the bestest. We in California don't have the biggest state. We have the longest state, don't we? Where's Claudia? Claudia. Claudia. Oh, and Penny, you just got back from the East Coast, didn't you? Now, can you imagine if California was on the East Coast? How many states would you go through just staying within the state of California, going up the coast? I mean, it's amazing every time I'm there. You blink or you go to the next stoplight and you're in an entirely different state. The other thing that I find is really strange on the East Coast is if you're going, the ocean is on your right if you're going north. Here it's not. Here it's on the south if you're going north. And that continues to throw me off when I go there. I get my directions. Anyway. But California has a lot of ests to it. I think it's actually one of the most diversest states as far as geography is concerned. I mean, you can find almost anything you want here. And there are some other states that do have diversity as far as geography, but not like California. We are not, however, the biggest state. What is the biggest state? Very good. Me being born in Bryan, Texas would kind of say, oh, that kind of sets me off, but Texas is a close second. California is third. We are, however, the longest state, yes, as we just kind of confirmed. We have the highest point in the contiguous U.S. That means just in the United States itself. The highest point in the United States is where? Up in Alaska. It's called Denali, or actually Mount McKinley, but Denali. But we have Mount Whitney, right? Whitney's in the Sierras. It is the tallest place in the United States. We have the largest animals in the history of the world swimming by our shores. All right, so does Oregon and Washington. But hey, we have more shore that they can swim by, right? So we can claim them more. We have the hottest temperature ever that baked visitors. It was in Death Valley. Furnace Creek, Death Valley, back in 1913, 134 degrees. Wow. We have the oldest living things here, and I don't mean people. I mean, we have the oldest living organisms. Can you imagine cutting down the bristlecone pine one day and realizing you just killed the oldest thing living on Earth so far that they have discovered? But the bristlecone pines in the Sierras are the oldest living things in America and actually on Earth. We don't have, or we not only have the oldest living trees, we also have the world's tallest and the world's biggest trees. And what are those? The redwoods and the sequoias. The redwoods and the giant sequoias of California. They're nature's skyscrapers, we can say. Redwoods exist in very few pockets in northern and central California. They actually go up into southern Oregon as well. There are a few of them in southern Oregon. But sequoias live exclusively in small groves in central and northern California, with the largest group of them found in Sequoia National Park. These two tree species are the wonders of the biological world, some of the most wonderful of the biological world, and some of the most magnificent things to behold on the planet. How many have actually touched either a redwood or a sequoia? It's amazing, isn't it? You look up to the top of them, you fall down. They're so tall. They literally cause you to bend over backwards. But we're lucky to have our big trees. Let me put it this way. We're lucky to have what's left of them. Just a century and a half ago, old-growth redwoods and sequoias were incredibly plentiful. They were growing everywhere in northern and southern, central California. People marveled at them, of course, but other people looked at them differently. They looked at them, and what did they see? Yeah, dollar signs, yeah, in the form of lumber. And so, it became an exploited resource, just ripe for the taking, just ripe for the plundering, we'll put it that way. And by 1900, nearly all of the California tall trees had been purchased. They'd been bought by private landowners who saw not the beauty of the trees, but again, the lumber in the trees. And in 1950, nearly all of the old growth redwoods and sequoias had been cut down for timber and for other purposes. Today, only 5%, think about that, only 5% of the old growth coastal redwood forest remains. And a little more than that, about maybe 7% of the sequoias, because we got to them quicker, protected them quicker. Those two species, the redwood and the sequoias, are closely related. The primary difference between them is indeed their habitat, where they grow. Redwoods grow more in the coastal areas. Sequoias grow more in the subalpine areas, actually. So in the foothills and up into the Sierras, which is a fascinating thing to think about. So here's a fact. The redwoods are the tallest trees in the world, but the sequoias are the biggest. They're not the tallest. Redwoods can grow over 350 feet. 350 feet. The tallest is called the Hyperion. It tickles the sky at about 380 feet. We'll round it off. It was discovered only 15 years ago, August 25th, and don't ask me about its exact location because I don't know. Very few people do. It's kept a secret for obvious reasons, because what would we do to that poor tree? We'd literally rip it apart just to say that we have a piece of it, right? The giant sequoia, Sequoia dendron, Sequoia dendron giganteum. I love it. It's Earth's most massive living organism. The average size of old-growth sequoias is only about 125 to 275 feet, the majority of them are. They can grow much larger, however, in mass, with diameters, and that's just going through it, okay, at the midsection, of about 26 to 30 feet. That puts, with a little basic geometry, the circumference of many of these trees over 85 feet around. That's incredible. You can see how they're considered massive. Okay, so what's the largest sequoia? Anybody ever seen it? Been to it? General Sherman. It's General Sherman. It's in Sequoia National Park. General Sherman is about 275 feet high, and it's 101.5 feet around. I mean, wait a minute. That's a third of a football field. Oh, football. It's about a third of a football field around. That's incredible. And it weighs 6,167 tons. That's incredible. So you think that trees that large would have a tremendous root system. Go hundreds of feet down into the ground, right? Especially over the time. And you'd think that they'd have to have something balancing out the size underneath, like skyscrapers need. Well, they don't. They actually have a very shallow, comparatively shallow, root system. Redwoods and sequoias, however, the roots of those particular trees, because they grow so close to each other, they entwine. They enmesh. They don't really grow together and feed off of one another, but they do entwine and enmesh. And because they are interlocking like that, when the storms come and when fierce winds blow, the interlocking root systems help them form a community, which then supports and sustains the trees in that community. That's what gives them a lot of the support. Now, I've come up with this whole thing because I read earlier this week that there were 10 of those sequoia trees that actually in one of the biggest groves there in Sequoia National Park, where there was about 100 of them growing closely together, about 10 of them did blow over in those big winds that we had a couple of weeks ago. And it was just devastating to see them lying there on the ground, these huge, huge things. The interlocking root systems help them form a community in which they support and sustain each other. They need one another to be able to stand strong, to be able to stand firm, to be able to survive in its utmost. And beloved, so do we. Amen? So do we. God has done the same thing with his church, the body of Christ on earth. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, through him, we are grafted into the body of Christ. Through his Holy Spirit, we've been rooted together into a community of faith. And by belonging to Christ, we also belong to each other. Fellowship with Christ means fellowship with each other. And through Jesus Christ, God made us a family. He made us a community of faith, a God-given support system. And as such, we are meant to meet crucial needs of one another, not just at times of storms, but especially at stormy times in our lives, especially at times of need. So our text for this morning tells us that the very first community of believers actually showed that type of support, showed that type of being rooted together. And on a regular basis, they came together for worship, for prayer, for study, and for support. That's what fellowship is all about, coming together for worship, for prayer, for study, for support, for having needs met, koinonia. Open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. You probably figured we would be going that way. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading just verse 42 to 47. These are words we love to read. We love to hear. We should love to live. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belonging, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day after day, Attending the temple together and breaking breads in their homes, they received the food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And all God's people said. So you can see in verse 44, it says that they were rooted together in him. All believers were together and had all things in common in Christ. Now, you think it was easy to follow Jesus Christ in those days? Obviously not. And it's not easy to follow Jesus Christ in our time as well. It'll never be easy to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus told us that. Times will always be tough. Persecution will always exist, especially for believers. So believers need to be bound and rooted together into a fellowship, into a community. We need one another, for it's true that there is strength in numbers, right? It's never easy to follow Jesus. It's never easy to live for him. It's easier to do with us together doing it. Depression, discouragement, temptation, apathy, materialism, doubt, rejection, disease, unanswered questions. We face so many obstacles in our desire to live for our Lord that keeps us from doing so the way we need. But God, however, has not left us on our own to run the race. He's never left us on our own to fight the battle. He's given us each other. We always need to consider the race a relay, because it is. We have one another to help, to assist. Fighting a battle is never a singular thing. He's given us each other, and our text reveals to us the proper focus of a community of believers. They devoted themselves, in verse 42, to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. What were the apostles teaching? They were teaching the message of Jesus Christ, right? They were teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what was proclaimed by the apostles. Jesus, God's divine Son, our loving Savior, was crucified. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead. And the apostles' teaching included the words, the actions, the teachings of our Lord, as well as the miracles that God had done through him. The breaking of bread refers to them observing the Lord's Supper, yes, like we just did. But it also referred to times when they gathered together for common meals, shared meals together. Those who had shared with those that did not have the food. Teaching, fellowship, praying, and the Lord's table were the focal points of the first Christian community. And in his book, Connecting the Church Beyond Small Groups to Authentic Community, Randy Frazee writes, the experience of the authentic community is one of the purposes that God intends to be fulfilled by the church. The writings of Scripture lead one to conclude God intends that the church not be one more bolt on the wheel of activity in our lives, in our individual lives. God intends the church to be the very hub. It should be the center of one's life. God intends our community to be that center that we revolve around, literally, with him, of course, focused in the middle. Amen? The church, or the local body of believers, is essential to each one of our well-beings, and together as the group as a whole, its well-being. There's no such thing in the New Testament as the Lone Ranger Christian. Believers need each other. God expects believers to be there for each other. Amen? Now, for the most part, yes, we are. We have been. And I believe we will continue to be at a greater degree as we continue to grow together, as we continue to entwine our roots in him. Let me repeat that truth. We need each other, and God expects us to be there for each other. He's ordained that we play a vital role in each other's faith. For that reason, we're asked. No, we're not asked. I'm sorry. We are commanded. It's an imperative in Hebrews 10:25. Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another. God has a purpose for putting us together, and we are here this morning fulfilling that purpose. Connecting. And through our connection this morning, there will be things said, there will be feelings felt, there will be things understood, there will be people grouping together in prayer. What our needs are will come out. And I firmly believe we will meet them. We will meet them. As Henry Nguyen points out, we're unified by our common weaknesses, our common failures, our common disappointments, our common inconsistencies. What one shares, we all share. Luke informs us in verse 44, all believers were one in heart and mind. I love that word, homothumadon, one in heart and mind. They were united in Christ. They were united in a community of which Christ was a center, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They were rooted and grounded in the mind of Christ, the word tells us. They made every effort to be led by God's Spirit and to think and to act like Christ. That was the focal point of this community. That is the focal point of our community, or at least needs to be. Consequently, God used that community of faith greatly. He used that community of faith to do some powerful things in the lives of countless believers. Living in the pagan world, living in the godless world, God used it powerfully. God's plan hasn't changed. He still desires to use his church to do the same powerful things in our lives and in the lives of our community members. The community of faith is absolutely crucial to our spiritual well-being, each one of us individually. It is crucial to our spiritual well-being. For through that community of faith, God desires for us to find strength for our journey, for us to find places to serve as he intended us to, and for us to find a never-ending source of guidance. Yes, godly guidance. Maybe not directly from God himself, maybe through those who he has surrounded us with, but it's still the guidance of God, is it not? So let's take a closer look at those things. We need to be rooted in his strength, On this sin-marred earth, we face inevitable trials, inevitable tragedies, troubles of all kinds that come to us in life. And he intends, God does, that we be supported, we be strengthened, we be encouraged, we be empowered by this community. Not necessarily the greater community of Avalon, no, the community of Christ in Avalon that we hope grows, yes, grows to be a greater percentage of Avalon. And as we face the storms and the temptations of life, we need to receive strength from one another. That's God's plan. And during the times when we're overwhelmed by trials, overwhelmed by heartaches, overwhelmed by burdens of life, we need to be strengthened. And we are strengthened and we are encouraged by other fellow believers, some who are stronger in the faith than we are. Some who we don't realize are stronger because they may not verbalize it more than others, but they show it in their love. When we wonder if God really does love us, when we wonder if God really does care for us in those particular times, we need God's people. Because God, in his providence, has chosen to come to us maybe not directly, maybe not individually, but he comes to us through his people. Through other Christians, we can sense, we can know God's love, we can know God's care, we can know God's will. And when we are loved and cared for by another believer, especially during painful times, we gain a new sense of God's love at work through them to us. That entwines those roots. That builds the body of Christ. Leadership Magazine, Carl Connor once wrote about traveling along I-40 in North Carolina after a series of snowstorms that hit right after one another. And so it just piled snow on some of the trees that were around there. Another tree story. And as he drove down the highway, he would notice that there would be large clumps of groves of trees that would be standing, even with all the snow all around them. But then when they got to sparse trees, most of them were damaged. A lot of their branches had broken off, and he knew that those trees would soon be suffering and be dying because of the broken branches, the big scars that they had in them. And as he looked more closely, the trees that were grouped together, of course, as their branches got weighted down by the snow, what happened? Well, they leaned down, but they leaned against other trees that were close by. They leaned against other branches of those trees that were close by. And those other trees and those other branches helped support the branches that were beginning to lay off the tree, would be beginning to break, beginning to be heavy and to bend. And he says that's exactly what the church needs to understand. When storms of life hit us, we need other Christians standing close by. We need other Christians standing right there to support us, because standing alone is going to break us. Standing alone will cause us to literally die spiritually. And throughout our lives, and especially in the tough times, God's will is to strengthen, it's to empower, it's to support us through a community of believers. He expects us to strengthen one another during the storms of life. He expects the body to build. You know, body building, you love those guys who pump you up. And that's what we need to do to one another. And in so doing, we build the body together to the benefit of all. It's an active part of the community of faith. We need others. They need us. Amen? We need to be rooted in service to one another. You know, having that community of faith is a great way of understanding where we are to serve. First and foremost, right there in the body of faith. And it's easy to find places to serve in the body of faith. We all have God-given duty to reach out and to serve each other. Love acts. Loves serve God as it serves others. Verse 44, all the believers were together. They had everything in common. Their ministry to each other included sharing of, yes, material goods to meet the temporal needs, but also, of course, spiritual goods to meet our eternal needs. The early church shared much more extensively because there were economic and social sanctions that were literally imposed upon these early believers. Well, we get imposed upon as well, persecuted as well. Maybe not here in America. Luckily, we are blessed. But boy, around the world, the Church of Christ is opposed. What we see here is Christian sharing at its best. What we see in Avalon is Christian sharing at its best. And it's still God's plan for meeting the needs of his hurting children. If we are not serving one another within a community of faith, then too many needs are going unmet. And too many reach the erroneous conclusion from having those needs that God doesn't care about them. And we can't have that utmost. Temporal needs are one thing. Spiritual needs are something even more deadly. We cannot have the body of Christ having anybody thinking that they are worthless, undervalued, not loved by God. We need to be there to be those arms reaching out, those arms hugging, those arms supporting when the weight gets heavy. We need to be rooted in the service, and we can find plenty of service in the body of Christ. We're also rooted in his wisdom. Somebody aptly said, we need a community of believers because none of us is as smart as all of us together. And that is so true. God yearns to guide us safely through our pilgrimage here on earth, sparing us wrong turns, sparing us these harmful paths. Ephesians chapter 3. God intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. So if you're not gathering together, if we're trying to do it all individually, we are not accumulating the greatest amount of knowledge of God, are we? We're not getting the best advice. If we open up to the others that are around us that God is working through, it makes sense. They have been through a lot with God. They can encourage, they can empathize. They can advise, and it's up to us to follow. They can also, yes, keep us accountable, right? Help us be responsible. God wants to guide us, but he has chosen to do it through his people in the community of faith. If we sit down with him on a daily basis, yes, he will meet with us. He will give us advice. He will help us to feel loved. But then as we leave and we go out into the world, we think we leave God back at home, but no, we don't. Number one, he's all around us in his creation, yes. Number two, he's around us in his people. And as we run into others that are a part of the body of Christ or come together as the body of Christ, there is God. As Jesus says, two or more gather in my name. There I am. There I am. And my truth is there as well. Looking to the Lord's people, we're much more apt to be guided down paths that enrich our lives rather than wreck our lives. Guidance we get in the community of faith is absolutely essential for our well-being, especially in these times when right is wrong and wrong is right. Through his people, God guides us away from sinful paths. The Lord makes things look, or the world makes things look so desirable, so acceptable. People in the world promise us things that will bring us pleasure, that will be fun. They say it'll bring happiness and fulfillment. We know better. We know better. And Hebrews chapter 3 says, exhort one another, that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So without a doubt, sin deceives. It always promises much but delivers little. And this world has sin all around, temptation all around. Were it not for the community of faith, we might be more easily and readily succumbed to these temptations of sin. And through the community of faith, we're guided into paths of righteousness. That's what I love about wild men. Some place for the men to turn to get good advice, godly advice. We all need the community of faith more than we often realize. In our humanness, there are times when we hurt each other, and the tendency is to pull away and to go it alone. But we must resist that tendency. We must not back away from the fellowship and the community of faith. We must make an unwavering commitment to a community of believers where we can be strengthened, we can find places of service, and we can receive the guidance, the godly guidance that we need. We were created for community. The journey of life and faith is often trying, it's difficult, it's painful. It's a little wonder why God has given us the family of God and the fellowship of believers. It's an absolutely essential source of strength, of service, of guidance. In Christ, we are a community of faith. We are a special place where we can minister and be ministered to. We need each other, and the community of faith needs to be, then, a priority in our life. It needs to be a priority in our life. So, Lord, we ask that you would indeed make it a priority in our life. Through the power of your Holy Spirit who indwells within each of us, we ask that each day we turn to you at the beginning of the day. We ask that we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us in that special time that we have with you. And then realize that as we go out in the world, we're going to continually bump into one another. And as members of the body of Christ, as members of that community of faith, help us to love and to support each other. Help us to understand that we have what we have in common and what Christ has done for us. And Father, help us to be able to do, as Paul says, understand what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, that we're no longer foreigners, we're no longer aliens separated from God. And when we group together in the body of Christ, yes, we feel more here, we feel more alive, we feel more part of you. No, we are fellow citizens with God, not aliens in this world. We are fellow citizens with God and his people, and we are members of the household of God. We are members of the community of faith. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done in making us those members through the sacrifice of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, and the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ron. Before we close in song together, just from a couple closing comments here as you go to practice this week. Out of Colossians chapter 2, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. And as you go through chapter 2, it's a beautiful chapter, and I'm obviously just giving you a couple highlights because I'm actually teasing you to say, open this stuff up. Open up Colossians 2 and 3 this week, down near the bottom. As he is going through it a little bit deeper, he actually gets into some stuff where it's like he's concerned about how we might be pulled away, or we can get caught up in some of this wrong thinking. And he talks about them saying they have lost connection with the head, who is Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments, sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. And this is the beautiful picture Ron's been painting for us this morning. We are tied together. And so there's this vital part of our growing that happens there. And then, of course, in Colossians 3, it's just one of my favorite chapters in my life. But when you get down beyond verse 12 there, it really talks about, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, gentleness, kindness, humility, patience. It talks about bearing with each other. It talks about forgiving each other. It talks about a love that binds us together in perfect unity. It talks about a peace that really guards and guides our hearts together. It talks about a worshiping and giving thanks together, right? And it's just a beautiful picture there that I want us to be reminded of. And so look at those specifically, because I want you to ask yourselves from the message this morning, how is God wanting me to help the body, those around me? You're looking at some of them here, and this is a beautiful place to have some of that connection. Deeper places to find that is in our small groups. And I just encourage you, because they are happening right now. Even though there isn't a lot of gathering like this, they are gathering weekly. Women's studies, men's studies, co-ed studies. There is opportunity if you would go on the web but ask a few leaders and get connected. And I would encourage you to put yourself in a place like that. If you haven't done that, maybe you haven't done it for a while, I would re-invite you to put yourself in an environment by which we rub shoulders with each other. We begin to hear life on life. We begin to have opportunity to do just that, pray together, to encourage each other, to forgive and reconcile with one another. And this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the word of God that came to us this morning becomes the life-changing agent in us, because it's that tied together by the head of Jesus Christ that is going to make us whole and complete and strengthened and firm in our walks together, because you have someone right there with you walking and praying and encouraging you. And I hope and I pray that you find that. I'm hoping you find that in every avenue you can, and it is available And so go there. We're going to close with this song. It's a new song we shared a couple weeks ago. And it's just a great doxology even over this morning. And so let this just be a prayer over you, a prayer over that journey as a body together. Let's close in worship. Jesus, you you are with us. You are for us in every way, all around us, working through us, before us, behind us. Your presence is so powerfully at work in our lives. And so may nothing hold us from that truth and reality. It does not matter what we've done, the hard thoughts that we're having, maybe even towards others. You have forgiven that. Yes. And you want us to forgive others and to live in that, because that is healing, that is wholeness, and that is truly the blessing of our Heavenly Father over us as we go. And we say amen to that, right?
Amen.
People have got to say amen to that, right? So live in that this week. That is your challenge. Go in that truth. Get yourself involved in a small group. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Go Bucks.
Go Buccaneers.
God bless you guys. Rub shoulders with another brother this morning. Give him a high five in the air. Or sister, yes.